You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
As an eight-year-old boy, Brian Clay dreamt of winning the decathlon, the Olympic event where you participate over a series of events, and you've got to be really good because it's 10 different events. And he eventually got to do this. He won the gold medal in 2008 in Beijing. And you can imagine the skill required to do not one event, but 10 different events. He entered the last day with a commanding lead. The last event is a 1500 meter run. And he was so far ahead that he could have just coasted to victory, but he didn't. He ran like crazy. And later on, he was interviewed and said, "Hey, you had the gold medal locked up. Why didn't you just coast? Why didn't you had it? Take it easy." And here's what he said. "In the last race, when I was 10 feet away from the finish line, that's when I knew that I'd won. I'd worked, trained, and competed for 8 years to be able to have the gold medal hanging around my neck. And if there was anything those 8 years of competition had taught me, it was that in competing against the best in the world in 10 grueling events, anything can go wrong before you cross the finish line." Everyone else said he had it in the bag, take it easy. And he said, "I don't take anything for granted. Until you've crossed the finish line, you haven't won the race." And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're looking at a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his protege, Timothy. Paul was at the end of his life. He was in jail. He was about to die. Next week, we're looking at the last part of this book. And in this passage that Michelle just read for us, he's saying essentially this: I'm at the finish line. I'm about to cross the finish line. I don't take anything for granted. And Timothy, I'm telling you, it's your turn. Here's what you need to do to run. Not just run, but to win, to run hard right to the end. And so today I want to look at the challenge that Paul gives all of us. He's writing to Timothy, but indirectly he's writing to all of us because it's a message that we all need to hear. And so there's three challenges in this passage. Here's the first challenge. Fulfill your ministry. In verse 5, it says this. This is the broad, overarching command that applies to all of us. Written to Timothy, and yet it applies to all of us. Verse 5. "As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And so this is going to look like this has nothing to do with us. We're literally reading somebody else's mail. And so this is, what does this have to do with us? Timothy had a unique role. Well, the application to all of us is clearer as you look at this, because some of the commands here are general that refer to all believers everywhere. And so Paul says, be sober-minded. In other words, think clearly. You've seen somebody under the influence of alcohol. Maybe some of us have been under the influence of alcohol. You understand that what that's like to be under the influence of a foreign substance. And here Paul uses that picture to say, look, it's possible to be under the influence of alcohol, but it's also easy to be under the influence of other things. He's listed a lot of them in this book: false teaching, pressures from the world. And here he says, Timothy, resist being under the influence of anything other than God. You need to be able to think straight instead of being impaired by wrong ways of thinking about God and his word. And here I want to say, this is a command that applies to all of us. If you're going to finish the race well, you have to guard against being under the influence of things that take you away from God. He says, be sober-minded. This applies to all of us. Second thing he says is endure suffering. This keeps coming up, doesn't it? It's a letter written by a sufferer saying that if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you too are going to suffer. When you're in jail about to die for Christianity, for your faith in Jesus, you know suffering is part of the package. And Paul looks at all of us and he says, hey, if you're going to follow Christ right to the end, be prepared to suffer. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a cost. I don't know what that cost is going to be for you, but Paul says there's going to be a cost. It could be social pressure. It could be losing a job that you want. It could be prioritizing Jesus over other things. It could be social. It could be even family that puts pressure on you to abandon your faith. But here Paul says, hey, Timothy, you've got to, if you're going to follow Jesus to the end, you've got to know how to endure suffering. And he goes on, and the third thing he says here, this is going to be the least transferable to our situation. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Here's a dissimilarity. An evangelist is one of the gifts that Paul mentions in Ephesians 5. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. An evangelist, according to one preacher, is somebody who works where a church has been established and from that church tries to win converts among people nearby. And so not all of us are gifted evangelists. In some sense, Timothy had a unique calling to be an evangelist. But in another sense, we all share this task. The Phillips translation or paraphrase says this, make the preaching of the gospel your life's work. Let everybody know about the hope that you have in Jesus. Don't keep the good news to yourself. There are thousands of people out there who've never heard. And you and I might not be gifted evangelists, but man, we can sure let people know that there's something different about us. And we can tell them there's hope for everybody. And the overarching command here is fulfill your ministry. Keep at these things. Persevere until the job is done. Don't quit halfway. Anything can go wrong before the finish line. So keep going. Okay. What is Paul saying here? Paul is handing the baton on to Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, you've got, it's your turn to run the race. And what he's saying is, Timothy, give it everything you've got. And I'm looking at you saying, I don't care who you are. God has called all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's called you to follow him. He's given you a ministry. And God is calling you to be faithful to the end to carry out that ministry. It's a faithfulness that will cost you. And it's a faithfulness that matters for eternity. God has a purpose for your life. Friends, I hope that you've discovered the truth that you don't have what it takes. That is the essence of what we need to learn to turn to Christ. We don't have what it takes. No matter how hard we work, no matter what we do, we'll never be able to earn acceptance with God because we don't have what it takes. I hope you've discovered that Jesus does have what it takes. I hope you've discovered that Jesus gives us what we lack, that he gives us everything we need to be right with God. And then we bring our nothingness to God and we receive everything from him, including a reason to live. And the moment we turn with our nothingness to Jesus and receive his everything, he says, you're part of the team. And he entrusts us to run the race all the way to the end. And it's going to involve the things that Paul mentions here. Faithful, costly, gritty obedience and perseverance right to the end. That is your assignment. That is what you have before you. It's what I have before me. I want to acknowledge in verses 1 and 2, I've looked at the assignment as it applies to all of us. In verses 1 and 2, he gives an assignment to a subset. In verses 1 and 2, he says, to Timothy now in particular, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We all have a role to play. here's Timothy's particular role. I think it applies to pastors, and it applies to you in the sense that if you're not a preacher, you have a responsibility as part of a church to make sure this is happening. Here's the role: preach the word. Here's how he's supposed to do it. Three ways that Timothy's supposed to do it. Always. When it's popular, Timothy, preach the word. When it's unpopular, Timothy, preach the word. When people like what you're saying, preach the word. When people hate what you're saying, preach the word. Always. Keep at it, regardless of the results. Secondly, he says, with particular application to a group of people. You know, I talked to a friend of mine this week, a pastor friend of mine. I said, how are you adapting to preaching today? Most of your people are online, and you look out at your people who are with you. They're all spread out. They're wearing masks. He says, I hate it. I hate preaching through a shield. You know, I want to look. I want to see their faces. I want to see their reactions. And what he was expressing there is there's something about preaching that is to a particular group of people, a group of people that you love, that you're called to, that's full embodied. That, and here, that's what he says. I mean, know your people. Don't just preach the word in abstract. Know them well enough to know what they need, when they need reproving, when they need rebuking, when they need exhorting to faithfulness. I mean, Timothy, don't just preach in general. Preach to your people. Love them. Bring the word of God to bear to them in particular. And then he says, with an attitude of patience, preach always, when it's popular, when it's unpopular. Preach to your particular group of people, and with an attitude of patience, with all patience, because this is slow work and because people are messy. You know what preaching is? Last year, Shar went to the Grand Canyon. Over however many years, that water, that mighty river, carved this huge canyon in the rock. It took a long time. It looks impressive. You know what preaching is? It's that slow. You can't even see it happening. But over a period of time, you see the work that the word does. It takes patience. It's slow work. It does something. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. This is your particular work. It's what God has given you in particular to do. Friends, this is why we make preaching such a big deal. It's not all of our jobs to be preachers, but it's got to be some of our jobs. I agree with John Stott, who said, nothing is more important for the life of and health of the church than biblical preaching. Churches live, grow, and flourish by the word of God. That's why our grace groups are centered around the word of God, because we need the word of God. It's what nourishes us. It's why we open the word of God here, because churches live and die by the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Okay, so that's Timothy's unique assignment. Zoom out again, all of our assignment, fulfill your ministry. Whatever it is, God has not called all of us to the same role, but he says to all of us, run the race. God has called you to his team. Run the race right to the end. Don't give up. Fulfill your ministry. Second challenge in verses 3 to 4 is this. Fulfill your ministry. Here's the challenge. Even when it's hard. Verses 3 to 4 talk about a particular hard situation. He says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, who will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off to myths. In Timothy's day, here was a hard situation. And it's going to be hard for all of us. You're going to have to be prepared for certain kinds of hardship that you're going to face as you follow Jesus. In Timothy's case, here was the hardship. Some won't tolerate sound teaching. Timothy's preaching his guts out. He's opening the word of God and he's showing them, you know, he's preaching. And Paul says, some won't tolerate sound teaching. In fact, he goes on and he says, they'll go looking for false teachers. One of the things I hate, and it's as old as Timothy's day, is if people don't like the preaching of the word of God, they'll find somebody who's not preaching the word of God. And they'll say, that is so much better. They'll find somebody, instead of submitting, as all of us need to do the word of God, they'll find somebody who tells them what they want to hear, and they'll sit under that ministry. They'll not only refuse to hear the truth, but they'll go on a search to find a preacher who tells them what they want to hear. And they'll stop listening to truths, and they'll start believing things that aren't true, myths and conspiracies and that kind of thing. And Paul says to Timothy, man, it's going to be hard. I want to tell you, I don't know what your hardship is going to be like, but we have to learn how to play hurt. We have to learn that it's not always going to be easy to fulfill our ministry. There is going to be headwinds. There's going to be opposition. And so I want you to imagine running a race. Imagine you're running a race and you're doing your best. You've got the finish line in sight. You're looking at your watch. You're checking your pace. And in front of you, you see somebody veer off and they leave the track. And instead of going on the way that they should go, they go running to McDonald's on the way. And you're like, whatever. But then imagine that all of a sudden you see somebody walking the other way. And instead of going to the finish line, they're going back to the start line and you're confused. You ask yourself, is this one of those races where you go halfway and then turn around? You realize it isn't. And then you begin to see people stumble and you have to begin to hurdle over their bodies. That's almost the picture that Paul says here before Timothy. Run the race. And you have to realize there's going to be people veering off. There's going to be people who quit the race. There's going to be people who turn back. There's going to be people who drop in front of you, and you need to keep going over them. Timothy, run the race. Fulfill your ministry, regardless of what other people do around you. And the last challenge, and I'm grateful for this part, is number one was fulfill your ministry. Number two is even when it's hard. And number three is this, just like Paul. Just like Paul. The third challenge is Paul gives us an example. The third challenge is Paul's personal example. Fulfill your ministry even when it's hard. And then Paul says, just like me. In verses 6 to 8, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul knows his life is over. He's about to die by execution. But it's interesting in this passage, he gives three images for his death. An act of worship, a drink offering. Back then, both in the Greek world and in the Hebrew world, part of the worship of God would be, in the Old Testament and in the Greek world, the different gods would be the pouring out of some kind of a drink offering as an act of worship to God. And Paul pictures the end of his life. He pictures the end of his life being, my life is being poured out. And it's not just an execution, but the moment of my death is like my life is being poured out as an act of worship before God. I mean, Paul is seeing his execution. I don't know how he was executed. One day I can't wait to find out. But as he was led to be executed, Paul was saying, this is an opportunity for me to worship God. This is actually an act of worship before God. He talks about my time of departure is at hand. If you can picture, the other week I took Char on a little boat cruise of Toronto Harbor. Went on one of those tall ships, and the time of the departure, we made sure we were down there because we knew, you know, you got to line up. They do have to do all the COVID stuff. You get in there, you sit down, and it's like the time of departure is at hand. Like when that boat leaves, it's not like you can, hey, you know, wait up. Like it's gone. And Paul was saying, like, my time of departure is at hand. It's coming. It's definitive. And that last image he gives us is of the completion of a fight or race. And here he's saying, You might have seen on the news this week, I think it was City News, that said CP24, that said, hey, the Raptors lost. And there was 0.5 seconds left on the clock, and the Raptors actually won that game in the last half a second. And what's Paul saying here is like, hey, man, my time of departure, the end of the game is over. There's going to be an end to this race, to this athletic contest. And until the very end, like, I'm going at it because every second counts. Paul isn't panicked about his death. He knows he's run the race well. He knows he's met all kinds of hardship. And he has confidence that even his death has meaning. And what I love is what gave him this confidence when he's facing death. Well, he says in this passage that he knows on the other end is a crown of victory. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Don't you love that? Paul saying that they're going to kill me. And there, after that, my race is over. I'll have run my race well. And Jesus will be there with the victor's crown. They're going to play, I don't know what song they're going to play. And Jesus is going to crown me with a victor's crown and say, well done. And not only does Paul say that, but he says, not only to me, but to all who've loved his appearing. Think about this. Paul saying, hey, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. Run the race, even when it's hard. Be like me, because on the other end, once you finish that race, there will be a victor's crown waiting for you. You will hear your name called. Jesus himself, who missed nothing of your life, will call your name, and you will stand, and he will take the crown, and he will say, you won the race. Well done. Here you go for everyone who loved his appearing. Friends, if you know Jesus, if you've been captivated by what he's done for you, that you've been given a ministry. All of us are ministers. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we're all ministers. He's called us all to serve him. Friends, fulfill your ministry. If you don't know Jesus, he can take your nothingness and give you everything you need and make your life count for eternity. You don't need a position. You don't need a title. You don't even need a spiritual gift test. What you need to do is to run your rest of your life as a race, following Jesus, loving him more, and sharing that love with as many people as possible. Not giving up until that final second. Fulfill your ministry. And so what Paul says to Timothy, he says indirectly to all of us, fulfill your ministry, even when it's hard, just like me. And if you do, it will pay off for eternity. Your life will count not just for the 80, the 70, the 50, the 90 years that you live. Your life will count for eternity. Brian Clay didn't give up until he didn't coast until he was 10 feet from the finish line of the 10th event in the decathlon. He knew he couldn't coast until he was on the verge of crossing that line. Friends, maybe we have permission to coast when we're on our deathbed and it's like, you got 10 seconds to live. Coast the rest of the way, okay? When you reach that point. Until then, let's run the race with everything we've got. The crown is coming. Right now, it's our turn to run the race with everything we've got, staying faithful to the end, no matter the cost. Lord, help us to do this. I pray that you would help us to fulfill our ministries, not to be distracted when others don't. Help us to stay faithful right to the end, just like Paul. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.